tonight, I'm going to speak to you on this topic of simply, it's going to be a little different than my usual. So one night I didn't use 10 slides and somebody said, where's your slides? And I won't point out that Lena said that. I would not do that. But I did appreciate that because she said she enjoys them. So it meant a lot to me. But tonight, I'm going to speak to you on the simple topic of break the yoke. Just break the yoke. And no, that's not with an L. Some of y'all just got hungry for breakfast. And the yoke. Which none of y'all say that. None of y'all say yolk anyways, I don't think, probably. We're in Arkansas. We don't use that proper English. There you go. Look at the scripture with me, Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Another scripture I want you to read with me or look at with me here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now let me just help you understand right now. This is talking about walking. I'm not going to do this justice. I just want to make sure I'm very, very clear on something. I'm a firm believer that you need to have friends that don't go to your church. I'm a firm believer in that. That you need to love people, that you need to reach out to people. But this is talking about being, and we're going to talk more about it. That scripture is talking about being bound together. Does that make sense? That's what the yoke is. So with that said, if you can say, you know, I don't have any friends outside of church, let me ask you to do something. Go make a friend outside of church. Because why would you be a light in a lamp showroom floor? You don't need to have a light bulb in you if you're in a showroom floor for lamps. But go be a light. So that's what I encourage you to do, which I say that, and I'm excited about something that's going to be taking place, a new ministry that we're heading into, thankful to some folks. Let me just say this. We're going to try to light up every room we can in this community. Is that all right? We're going to do the best we can. And so we'll talk more about that. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, again for your word. We thank you for your presence in this place tonight. You're here with us. And we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. I pray, Lord, help us. I pray this word's an encouragement, a help. And I pray, Lord, that you'd do a work through this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when the parakeet, Chippy, the owner decided to clean the cage with a vacuum cleaner. How many's ever had a pet parakeet? My parents never let us have one. They always said crazy people had birds for pets. But no, I'm just joking. I'm teasing. They never said that. They never said that. I want to say that, Miss Carolyn. They didn't say that, Sarah. I promise you they never said that. But they do believe that. But they decided to clean the cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose, stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. She turned to pick it up. She had barely said hello when she heard, and Chippy the parakeet got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, opened the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, waterboarded that bird for a good 20 seconds, held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for a hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma reporter who initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner and asked to see how the bird was recovering, and the owner said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, blown over. That's enough to steal anyone's song. The reality is that some of us feel the same way. We feel as if we were just there and all of a sudden life happened. And we might look back at times and think back on what, at times, where did that smile go, or where did that song go, or where did that joy go? The reality is, life happens. A yoke is a device for joining together a pair of animals, especially oxen, a frame fitting the neck and shoulders of a person for carrying a pair of buckets. We can call this a burden. A symbol of war would be when they would capture somebody from the opposing side, they would have those captives coming back like an archway under which prisoners of war were compelled to pass by the ancient Romans or a battle. In machinery, a yoke is a vice-like piece that grips two parts firmly together. Something, another definition, just simply is something that binds together. Also a verb meaning to join, couple, harness, link, unite, attach. We could go on and on and on. So the question I would ask tonight is, what is your yoke? The reality is you likely have a yoke that you're carrying even tonight. Something someone said about you when you were a child or when you were grown. Something someone did to you in your distant past. Something that might have seemed one way but maybe misunderstood as it was spoken to you. A personal failure that the devil reminds you about every day that you wish you could go back and take, not that day, but honestly that moment. Moment I've heard talked about as being the smallest measurement of time. A moment cannot be calculated by a watch, but it can be calculated by your memory. A moment, you oftentimes wish you could take a moment and pull back that moment. You wish you could go back and yank the moment back in your time. So there's something that might have been there. The devil reminds you of a moment, something that distorts your personality and spirituality, something that you have never been free of for a very, very long time, something you've carried, you've known it was there, it's been there, but you don't know what to do about it, something that hinders your movement and your mobility. There's nothing wrong with the oxen. It's the yoke, the burden that's there on the oxen that we're speaking about in this context. You owe it to yourself to get the yoke off your neck. You owe it to yourself tonight to walk out not feeling the burden of the yoke, but yet you also owe it to yourself to just understand what it is to be free and allow yourself to feel the power, to feel the freedom, to feel the rush, if I can put it that way. I believe there is a rush that comes with it. If you've never felt the rush of the Holy Ghost, you've never felt the rush of the power of God by coming and laying something at the altar and giving it to Him. And here's the thing. Oftentimes, it's not even about holding or letting go. It's about breaking the pride that you and I have. Breaking the pride of walking to this altar and being worried about what someone might think. Oh, they failed. I don't care, truthfully, what you think. When I've got to get rid of something in my life, I'm going to get rid of it. There's days where I miss the trash truck, and days I've got to back in over here, and I know some of y'all do too. And it is what it is. That's been going on for years, and I ain't stopping that. So take your liberty. Just don't stack it outside of the thing like somebody did the other day. But here's the thing. There's days where I have to get rid of that trash. I'm not going to keep it in my, and you know, the dogs would get in it. But no one then comes and, no one's going to come and dig that thing open and say, what is this? No, I'm just getting rid of stuff that I don't need. Sometimes we just got to drop off what we don't need and not worry about what someone thinks or how it was carried or what the case is. We've got to know that I must get rid of it. Leviticus 26 and 13 says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. What he's saying is that you've got to realize that you do not carry the bonds of that old life anymore. You do not walk with those things anymore. You now get to exercise freedom, and I've done that very thing to you. But now what he's speaking beyond that is he's saying that every generation has to cast off the yoke. Every generation has to get rid of the yoke. It's not just something my father, that when he broke his yoke, that does not mean that I no longer would ever have a yoke. No, I've got to get rid of my own personal yokes. I've got to break that very thing. Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And it says the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is not given for external physical demonstration. The anointing is given to enable you to do something that you could not do without it. If you're not doing anything for God, it doesn't matter how much noise you make. It does not matter if you're doing nothing for God, but yet you, what I'm trying to say right now is that you've got to break off whatever is holding you to stop you from moving into the direction of serving God, being a light unto his people, being a light in a dark world, being somebody that offers something to somebody. I've got to get the yoke off of me. I've got to remove it from me. I've got to take the burden of what I'm carrying off of me. 1 Samuel 16 and 13, it says it this way. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David had premature anointing. He had this anointing. He had this power. He had something on him. There was something that was there that was going to allow him. He understood the power of it. He understood what was going to, he didn't understand what was going to happen, but he understood the power of being obedient unto the word of God in his life. But Ramah, from Ramah to Bethlehem was about a 20-mile journey, but yet when Samuel comes to the house of Jesse, he says, I hear all thy children. He says, well, there's one more, but he doesn't count. And here's the yoke that David had. We find that David had overcome this. David was constantly dealing with self-identity throughout, we find his text. That's why when you deal with self-identity, you fall to things that are not becoming of who you are because you devalue yourself in every way. When David looked over the balcony and saw Bathsheba, he devalued himself because he believed for a moment, there's that word again, moment, he believed for a moment what everyone said about him. You'll never be good enough. You're never going to make it. You never ever will accomplish the things that God has for you in your life. So he devalued himself by now believing what they said. And here's where it started. David, you're not even invited to the house when Samuel shows up. David, you're not even called into the house because you don't fit the mold. David, you're not the one. David, he's not here. He doesn't count. Here's the best of the boys. And what Samuel says to him, I'm not going to sit down until he comes here. In other words, you go tell him that I've got oil in my hand. But if he's going to get the oil, he's got to get up from the pasture he's on the backside of a hill. What does that mean? David had a yoke he had to break. The yoke of what others think about me. The yoke of what others say about me. The yoke of what my own father and
my brother said, I am not able to do. But yet he gets up. And instead of Samuel taking 20 more steps after 20 miles, David walks in the house and the Bible tells us the anointing rested on him. But in order to reach that place, you've got to break the yoke. I've got to break the yoke. I've got to get rid of other people, especially King Saul didn't understand. They didn't know what he was. They even saw when he walks in, just here, David walks into the house, or to the office, and says, I'm here to fight Goliath. I know this is a Sunday school story, but it's also a Bible story, so it's good to talk about in church. But he says, I'm here to fight. And he says, well, you're not good enough. David always was dealing with that. He was always running into that. Well, I'm not good enough again. They said, I'm not good enough again. They said, I'm not good enough. They said, I'm not good enough. It's never going to work. But then as he began to break the yoke, he began to hear things about Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000. He had to break a yoke in his life. 1 Samuel 17 and 24 says this, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They knew the power of it. Verse 17 and 37, 1 Samuel. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Here's what I want you to get right now. This is one of those things that I probably stated before. It's one of the, I never get rid of it in this story when we find the scripture where David says, that talks about the lion and the bear. The average size of a lion, you can go, and I don't know exactly where this came from. I read it once, and then I actually heard Merle Cornwell speak about it at a young minister's thing at Jerry Dean's church when I was probably 17 or 18. But I was excited to hear him say this because I didn't see how this was possible. When he stated it, he had also looked into this, probably the same thing, something out of Dad's library. But the average size of a lion in those days on its back paws, standing up on its back paws, was 9 feet 9 inches. The average size of a bear in those days, can you take a best guess? 9 feet 9 inches. And many believe that Goliath would have been about, if you're asking me, do I want to fight a 9 foot 9 inch man or a 9 foot 9 inch lion? Give me the man. I got this guy. If you're asking me if I want to fight a nine foot nine inch man or a 9 foot 9 inch bear, go downtown probably and fight this bear tonight. You stay up to date on Arkadelphian. Clark County News, breaking news. A bear downtown, vicious. In a tree, cuddled up like a cute little thing. Run, hide your family. 9 feet 9 inches, I'll take the man. David recounts what took place in his life, and what he had to recount was, you're going to be told when you stand in front of Goliath that you're not good enough again. You're going to deal with the yoke of identity. You're going to deal with the yoke of it's never going to work. You're going to deal with the yoke of you weren't really invited to the party anyways. You're going to deal with the yoke of, weren't you just bringing food to your brothers? You don't even have a spear and a sword, and you don't have armor, you don't have a shield. Take these things. You're not good enough, David. You're not good enough. Take these things. And David had to realize, what I came in as is good enough to use and to fight. And what he understands in this moment was, I killed a lion. What I would say here is that's David's personal foe. I killed a bear. What I would use that also and categorize that as David's personal foe. But now when he's fighting the Philistine, this is God's foe. And when you break your personal foes, break the yoke and begin to fight your personal foes, fight the personal things, fight the way that you see things. I'm not talking about the way they are, but the way you see them. Does that make sense? Because there is a way that you choose to see things. You see it through a lens that is your perspective. And you have a choice. Do I see it through that perspective or do I see it the way that it is? When you break the yoke of your own context, the world you're living in, our world has a lot of made-up context these days. There's a lot of made-up stuff. There is an ordained minister now in that United Church that I talked about on Sunday. Because he is a biological male. His given name now, or his name that he takes on, his identity, is Penny Cost. He's a grown man playing Halloween every day, playing make-believe, wanting us to say it's okay. Let me just be very, very clear. I love all people. I love all people so much that I am okay telling them they're crazy. You would say, oh, I'm offended by that. I don't care. I truly don't care. I do not care. I want to love someone so much that when they are wrong, we can say, this is not right. If I tell my son, okay, you're right, you can fly, guess what? He's going to go to the edge of a high building somewhere and say, well, Daddy agrees. He affirms me as a bird, and I'm going to fly. Guess who's now wishing that he might have said that, no, you can't fly. You're not able to fly. You don't have the power to fly. Is this all right? So I cannot now have my own context, my own world, and think that everything's just the way that it is. David had to get through the same thing, that people are going to tear me down, tear me up. They're going to overlook me. They're going to push me away. What this was a burden that David lived with. It was a burden that he lived with. But I want you to get something right now with me. David overcame and broke the yoke and was able to stand there and say, I don't come at you with this. I'm going to recognize what they're saying. I'm going to say what they're saying. I'm not as polished. I don't have it all together. I don't do everything that they did the way they did it. But I know one thing. I come at you in the name of the Lord, and I am not going to be defeated. And when David took the way that he was, when David took the way that he did it, let me just pause for a moment because it feels like a right time. Sometimes generations will do things different than a previous generation. One generation fought with swords, but after David slung the stone with a sling, guess what? You read the Bible after that, and everyone's got a sling and a stone because they said that they can get good with it. We can find where there's a whole army of left-handed soldiers that could sling a stone at a hare and split the hare. Why? Because if it works, then let it be. If it works, then let it happen. But every generation has to break the yoke and get beyond what even your own troop says about you. Is that all right? I've sometimes got to push by what even the same team is saying behind the bushes. Oh, he'll never do it. He's going to get chewed up and spit out. And I know this is gruesome, but when David took the sword and took his head and walked through the city with that thing, they probably thought, oh my goodness. You know what David was doing? He was showing them a broken yoke. He was walking in liberty and in freedom. He was showing that, you know what? I made a journey from the hills to the house where Samuel was, and I'm making that journey now. I am who God says I am. I am able. His hand is upon me. I do have power. I do have authority. He is guiding me. He is doing something in my life. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, with a shield. And he says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He's letting him know that I've got something more in me. And it may be that I am less. I might not have enough. I might not be talented enough. But the good news is I'm not doing this on my own. And he's going to fill the gap of anything I don't have. I'm going to hurry along here. Judges 16, 20 and 22. It goes on a little bit farther. Judges 16, 20 through 22. And she said, the Philistine be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters and brass. And he did grind in the prison house, howbeit the hair of his head. The scripture says, began to grow again after he was shaven. Samson didn't realize that the anointing had departed from him, but then later on, he didn't realize the anointing had returned unto him. In the midst of his trial, the anointing of God set upon him. And put your hands on the pillar and push. Put your hands out there and push. I'm hurrying along here. I'm going to skip a little bit. I'm going to say, like Brother Brett says, I don't have enough time. Prepare less, you'd have a little more time, Brother Brett. But just kidding, you know I love you. Yes, sir. You know I love you. Somehow he gets the same time that the rest of us get. But I love Brother Brett. The reality is that there has to be a breaking in your life. There has to be a breaking in your life. And it's not something that you can pass by. It's not something you can move quickly beyond. It's not something I can say, well, I'm okay. I can manage this one. I can manage this one. I can carry this one. This is something I can handle. No, there's got to be something in your life that says, I will not allow this to go on. 1 Kings 11, and I didn't give these scriptures, but listen closely. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go to mine own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me, that, behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise. Most people would think that everything is good in my life right now, but I have a longing and a desire to get back. Saying that there's something, there's a desire that just won't quit. Something's got to happen. There's something that brings me to a place of rising back up and pushing along and desiring to see a change take place. Got to be something that happens. Let me just say, there's a shift that takes place when the Lord is saying, you can exchange your yoke for another yoke. He's saying to us to take my yoke. There's something that you can carry. And what he's speaking in this moment, there's don't forget the definitions we kind of looked at. But there is a joining together. There's a bringing together. So when the Lord's speaking, he's saying, take my yoke. There's got to be a sense in which the yoke was his, but there's got to be also an understanding that there's something more than that. Take my yoke upon you is him stating that let us share this and be together with this and walk in unison with this. And the burden that is being carried will grow light and grow easy if you'll walk with me. So what I'm trying to say is that you are going to have a yoke. You're going to be carrying something. It'd be something, as I said earlier, from your past, something you've carried from childhood. It could be something you've carried, you know, whatever. We can go down that road all again. Or you can break that and you can step into a partnership or relationship or communion with him. And what he's saying is that my burden is light. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many could say, you know what, I've been on the other side, and I've walked in the heaviness of life that way, and I'll take walking with him all day long. I'll take it. I'm coming to a close. I'll take it. I want to walk with him. I want to walk with him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet tonight. Let me just say, if you're tired, you've been carrying something, break the yoke. If you're regretful and you go back over and over and look at what in your past, break the yoke. If you feel overlooked and you feel as if you're misunderstood and Because if nobody gets you and you're scared to take a step out, used by God, take a step out. You're not sure what they're going to say. You're not sure if you give up something, that what's going to... Let me just tell you right now, break the yoke. I read something the other day. One person said, it's either going to be difficult on the front side or it's going to be difficult on the back side. You make a decision before, which is called discipline. You think, man, but I don't really want to do that right now. Then later on, you're thinking, well, now I've got the discipline of overcoming the choices that I made then. So it's going to be difficult one way or the other. It's going to be difficult. The difficulty of letting go of it is not walking with the burden of it. It's deciding to break it, to take it off. But this is different. This isn't just now I'm free. No, this is different. Now, come here for a minute, Joe, if you can. You're up front. You shouldn't have done it. You knew better. Now you've got, I'm carrying the burden of this thing. Everywhere I go, I've got the burden of it. Not only do I break it and it's gone, but now I say, I'm going to take his yoke. And what he says is, when you begin to slip up and fall, I'm gonna help you out. When you're carrying a load, guess what? We're in partnership together. We're walking together. When it's too much for you, it's easy for me. So let me lift that sorrow. Let me lift that pain. Let me carry that for you. And I want to walk with you. I want to go with you. I want to fight the battles with you. I want to go through the hardships with you. I want to be there. He's saying, let me walk with you. Let me go and do a work with you. Take my yoke upon you. Would you close your eyes and just take a moment right now and respond however you see fit. Jesus, in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have time tonight. I wonder if there's anybody that you just feel like taking a moment and praying in the front. If there's anybody in this house tonight that will take a moment and say, Lord, I ask you to help us. And we're always going to have time for this. Lord, I ask you right now to help us and lead us and guide us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord. Jesus, I ask you to touch us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray, let things be broken tonight. Let things be broken tonight. Thank you, Lord. Let us leave things at the altar, God. I pray, let us leave what's broken, Lord, at your feet. Let us take what you've given, take what you're bringing. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, break every chain. Break every chain.